So we want to welcome St. Paul Saints play-by-play guy, Sean Aronson. Sean, the team advances to the championship series, but let's first of all talk about that division series. What's the storyline you take away?
First of all, I think it was an amazingly well-played series overall, save for the unfortunate error by Leo Pena in the eighth inning. And you really, as well as that series was played, you hate to see it turn on that moment, especially as good of a player as he is, as great as a defensive player as he is. You hate to see a series won or lost on that. But look, I would tell you that the storyline in that series, at least in Game 5, was the bottom of the Saints' order. And I talked about it on our pregame show on Facebook Live, that I thought it was going to come down to the bottom of the Saints' order. But if you look at the numbers overall in that series, it is skewed all over the place. The Saints didn't hit the ball. Todd Van Steenstil actually came up with a great stat. I think we led for like three half innings in the entire series. Like, that was it. It was unbelievable. We trailed in every series. In games 1 and 2, we led in the top of the first inning, and then Fargo scored immediately in the bottom of the first inning and then never trailed. In game 3, we didn't lead until the bottom of the eighth inning. In game 4, we didn't lead until the walk-off base hit in the bottom of the ninth inning. And then in game 5, we didn't lead until the bottom of the eighth inning. So, really, if you dug into the numbers, you would have thought Fargo won the series, and that wasn't the case. So, I would tell you the overall theme, expect the unexpected, I guess.
When you look back on that series, were there moments that you kind of look back on now and think this is the reason why the Saints advanced?
Yeah, it goes back to game 3. Tyler Pike was pitching a gem. He had a perfect game through 6 innings. He went 18 up and 18 down. And in the top of the 7th inning, Dan Modell singled, Michael Lang singled, and Brady Shoemaker homered. And I think in that moment, those guys all believed. They were on the brink of elimination. I mean, and I've said this a few times now, the obit was written, but they rose from the dead. I mean, seriously, I don't know outside of the Saints dugout if there was anyone in that ballpark on that Saturday night that thought that they were going to win that game. I mean, Pike was unbelievable. But I think in that moment, they believed they were not only going to win that game, but that series as well. And then 3 batters later, you know, Josh Allen hits the home run to tie it and, you know, score a couple of runs in the eighth inning to win it. Zimmerman pitches a gem on, in game 4. And then last night, the craziest of all crazy game 5. So, I think that moment, as soon as the perfect game was broken up and they scored the 3 runs, you could see they instantly believed they were going to win that series.
When you look ahead to this series now, what makes you believe the St. Paul Saints are a championship team?
Just what we talked about, what has gone on this entire season, and I'm sure Sioux City feels this way as well, right? I mean, when you get to a championship series, you can almost write the storyline if your team wins it, and everybody feels that they're a team of destiny, and all these things are just kind of going their way and falling into place. And, you know, Sioux City could have been bounced out by Cleburne, and, you know, they hung on even though they lost 3 out of 4, but they won on the final day of the season to get in and then win that 13-inning game against Kansas City in game number 4. You know, I'm sure they feel the same way that the Saints do, but I believe that the Saints have some sort of magic, some sort of, if you believe in divine intervention, whatever it is, working in their favor this season. They went 17-3 over the final 20 games. They played the most one-run games in the American Association history. They won more one-run games in American Association history than anyone else. And the way they won that series against Fargo, you just feel like this team believes that they can win. And it's not one guy that's carrying them. It's not one entity. It's not pitching. It's not hitting. It's something different, and it's something odd every single night.
What worries you about the Sioux City Explorers?
Plenty. Look, their pitching is remarkable. You know, the Saints were 3rd in the league in pitching in the regular season. Sioux City was 4th. But that bullpen is as good as any, and kind of reminds me of the Saints bullpen a year ago, when they were lights out. Now, of course, they faltered in the championship series. But that bullpen, and give give Steve Montgomery a lot of credit because he has built this foundation over the last few years, and the pitchers that he gets over there that do the job. That's why they're so competitive every single season. You look at their offense in the regular season, and I didn't think it was anything overly spectacular, but then they went out against Kansas City and beat the snot out of them. So, I'm not as worried about Dylan Kelly at the catch because we don't run that much. But Sioux City can run, so you have to add that factor in as well. You know, how much are they going to run in this series? And we've just kind of been average at holding base runners on and throwing guys out. So if they elect to run in this series, it makes their offense that much more potent. So I think their running game and their bullpen scare me a lot. And so if you're the Saints, you've got to jump on a starter, which they really have not done yet in the playoffs.
There has traditionally been some bad blood between these two teams over the last 4 or 5 years. Do you think that plays any part in this series?
Look, I mean, they've only met once in the playoffs, though, right? They met in 2015 when the two teams had the best records in the league and basically, you know, set the entire league on fire with 75 and 74 wins, respectively. And I don't think there was any bad blood in that series. I thought it was, for the most part, a well-played series, save for Game 2, in which, you know, Sioux City blew out St. Paul. But if you remember, the Saints were down a run in Game 4, and Rob Wirt was on the mound, who was an all-everything reliever. And the Saints had actually gotten the base hit. I believe it was Alonzo Harris that got the base hit, and Nate Hansen tried to score from second. And who was it? Michael Lang, who is now the right fielder for the Saints, threw out Hansen with the plate that would have tied the game in the eighth inning. I honestly believe that that run scores, the Saints win that game and go on to win that series. But I thought it was a well-played series. I didn't think there was any bad blood. I didn't think there was any, BS. I know Steve in the newspapers before the series started, made it, it's the Saints and all their money against us, this just kind of lowly team and whatever. But I think that's gone now, right? I think what Steve has done since he has taken over has not just put that team on equal footing, but has really made them one of the best teams in the league over the last handful of years. So, look, there's a salary cap in this league, and everybody has to abide by it. And Steve's going to do little things to try and get under your skin. He may put a quote out there or two in the Sioux City paper, just to throw it out there, just because he's that guy. But outside of that, I don't think that you're going to see anything on the field of play between these two teams.
I think an interesting storyline to this series will be the ballparks. Do you see that having an impact?
I talked about this with Jack Michaels, Fargo's broadcaster, and he said, you play the first two games in Fargo and the last three games in St. Paul, and it's like playing two very different series because the ballparks play so extremely different. In Sioux City, it's a power alley game, and if you can run, triples abound, at Lewis and Clark Park. Or I should say Mercy Field at Lewis and Clark Park. But if you find the gaps, you can run for days. That's not the case in St. Paul where, home runs have been a little bit more prevalent there. So, I think that again plays into the hands of Sioux City, which is how Steve has put together his team with a little bit more speed and that can go gap to gap. And so if you can cut down on the extra base hits, if you're the Saints, especially when you're here in Sioux City, I think that's going to be beneficial.
Next week when the St. Paul Saints are American Association champions, what will you believe happened that made that occur?
I will believe that somebody's finally smiling down on us. I think it's going to be that we are able to steal one of these two games on the road, and that we're going to utilize the home field advantage as much as we have all season long. I also think that if Sioux City, and they did this in 2015, and again, it's not the same 2015 to 2019 because there's nobody on that team anymore save for Nate Sampson, but they didn't run very much in 2015. So if they're more conservative in the running game, I think that plays into the Saints' hands. I also think that the Saints will have gotten to Sioux City's bullpen in one of the three wins if they go on to win this series. And I'm not saying they're going to explode for five runs, but, you know, maybe it's a tie ball game and they're able to score, you know, the game-winning run off of that bullpen. But if they can get into that bullpen for one game, I think they're going to be able to win this series. And the next time we talk, we'll be talking about the Saints being champions and ending that 15-year drought that we talked about, you know, when you called for the last series.
You know, last night I had to say I was pretty impressed that there were over 18,000 people watching that game online. So, Sean, tell us, where can people catch your broadcast?
Well, we were the only game in town last night, right? All eyes were on us. You were either in Fargo or in Sioux City, or if you, for whatever reason, were in the Twin Cities and couldn't come out, you were tuned in last night. First two games, KFAN Plus, 96.7 FM, as well as on the iHeart radio app, which you can get for free anywhere, and search for KFAN Plus. Don't search for KFAN. That's the big boy station, and we haven't quite got to that point yet. But KFAN Plus, of course, you can always you know, catch Connor's broadcast in the first two games, American Association Baseball.tv. And then when the venue changes, again, KFAN Plus for Game 3, and if necessary, 4 and 5, as well as American Association Baseball.tv. I'm looking forward to this. This should be a heck of a series, but I'll tell you this, if it's anywhere close to the last series we just went through, I may not survive this series.
Well, let's hope I'm talking to you next week and you're alive.
So, I appreciate it, Rob.
All right.
A lot.
Thanks, Sean.